film fans, and welcome to this edition of The Real Rundown. I'm Epic Film Guy Nick.
Epic Film Guy Justin is in attendance as well.
Well, thank you very much for being in attendance. I'm surprised you were able to pull yourself away from the theater dressed in your Kruger outfit. I saw you on Facebook.
You saw me pimping out your
Freddy Claw. Yeah, I saw you posted that. Jeff Miller shared that post.
It was broken. It was broken? It was a broken claw. That thing's been broken for a while. The hat is from my wife's Halloween costume from a good few years ago. But my sweater, my friend, I've been wearing for like over 10 years. I bought it, I believe, at a Hot Topic. And I wear it every winter season as a regular sweater because I love it. So.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, you again got to check out a good old classic flick. At the Alamo Draft House, I am still jealous that you get to do that because the AMC isn't starting any classic movie anything anytime soon. And
I still sit there by myself alone. As I say every week, I'm still there by myself alone. So.
Oh. Well, we're not alone on the podcast here. As you already know, I said to you this earlier, we almost hit 100 listens on this one, which, you know what, it's not that big of a number yet compared to what it is going to be, but we've experienced quite a bit of growth. Last week's episode was our biggest episode to date, so thank you very much for everybody who just joined us, or if you've been with us since the beginning, or whatever the case may be. Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The king's here. All right, and that's it for today. I'm Epic Phone Guy Nick.
Yeah, oh, wait, I thought... Peanut butter and banana, baby.
When Elvis shows up, I mean, doesn't that mean the show's over?
I want me a peanut butter and banana sandwich, baby. God, come on, baby. Oh.
I still can't laugh. If you make me laugh, then I end up doing the cough, so you can't make me laugh.
I promise Epic Film Guy Nick will not die. Please do not die. I will have to repeat myself every podcast to say, please do not die. Now, please tell me, Epic Film Guy Nick, that I'm not wasting my time talking to you right now when I could be watching yet another horror film to start my 31-day Epic Film Guy Horror Challenge.
You're not wasting your time talking to the law, because I am the law.
Well, if you're the law, tell me what the hell is on your mind.
Well, what are we going to talk about? You just mentioned it. You just mentioned the 31-day horror challenge, and that was the first place that I wanted to start. Last year, Justin started this 31 Days of Horror Challenge. Is that a horror movie a day, or do you just have to watch 31 horror movies in the month of October?
I always took it as one per day because most people don't have the ability to watch, like sit and fully watch a full film, more than one full film a day. If you want to do it more than one in a day, it's fine, but that way you can fit more in. But the key is one a day. 31 days in October, 31 films, and we're going to change it up this year. I think you agree with me, Nick. I think this will be a fun idea. Now, we know that everyone has their go-to horror films. I myself have them as well. They're all in my collection, which is why I own them. I love them. But it'd be cool if we took half of that time frame, so half of the 31 days, for you to pick 15 or so films that you have not yet seen. So say, for example, 15 horror films that you've thought about wanting to see or that you've never seen, and this is your opportunity to watch them. We want to not only know that you're watching them, but we want to know what you think of them. So that's a cool idea in my head. I think it's something I'm definitely going to take advantage of in this season. I always try to add like a good 10 to 15 movies in there that I haven't seen yet or that maybe I haven't paid much attention to. What do you think about that, Nick? Is that a good idea?
Well, I think it's a great idea, and you're going to post up an infographic tomorrow with, you know, the first day of the challenge. What are you watching? Blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, we definitely want you guys to get involved with this. We know we've got some other horror fans on the page. So, yeah, every day when you see the post, tell us what you're watching. Comment what you're watching and invite your friends. Invite everybody you know. Really, that should be your main focus as an Epic Film Guys listener or reader, is to get everyone else you know to do nothing with their life but watch our videos, read our posts, and listen to our podcasts. But I get that some people have to do other stuff once in a while. But yeah, we now definitely keep in mind, want people to get involved with this.
Key thing is, it doesn't have to be, you know, what most would consider as horror. It doesn't have to be slasher or vampire or whatever it may be. It could just be a film you think of as a really dark thriller or whatever you consider. Whatever you want as part of your 31-day horror challenge is totally fine as long as it is somewhat scary, frightening, dark, evil. You fucking name it. It doesn't have to be a slasher film. It doesn't have to be a Halloween movie or Friday the 13th or Poltergeist or The Exorcist. Though I will tell you, Nick, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm very excited about this because The Exorcist is one of my favorite horror films. Yeah, I know it's generic. I know it's cheesy, whatever. It's in the books. Everyone loves that one. But The Spot, there's plenty of scenes that were shot here in Georgetown and in Washington, D.C., and the classic iconic tall steps, which I've walked past a million times and have never noticed that they are part of, you know, the iconic scenes of The Exorcist. I'm going to go down and shoot some cool pictures there this season, so I'm really excited.
Very, very nice. And here's what I think we should do. I'm going to add two things to the 31-day horror challenge.
Let's hear it. Okay? Let's hear it. All right.
I'll say once a week, just to make it easier. Once a week, I want us, the Epic Film Guys, to pick the film. Okay? So that's, you know, what are we going to do? We can do it every, I think there's 5 Fridays in October this year. So we could do it, you know, I don't know, we could start it with Thursday. So there's 5 Thursdays, or you could just do whatever. But once a week, I want the Epic Film Guys to pick the film, whether it's a film that you've seen before, whether it's a film that you've not seen before, whether it's, you know, something that a lot of people have or haven't seen. I want us to have some kind of control over it. So if you're taking part in the challenge, once a week, Justin, I'll leave the day up to you. Once a week, I want us to be like, today's the day, movie fans. This is the film I want you to watch. And number two, I'm joining in on the fun. I'm not a horror guy. Justin can attest to this. I've got a couple horror films that I really do enjoy, but I'm not nearly the horror buff
number
that
one,
Justin is.
Hey. Here's the movie you need to start with. And this movie is not, this is a great example of what I was just referring to. This film is not a horror film. This film is, in my opinion, a classic film. And anyone out there will agree with me. And you have not seen this movie. This movie pertains to Halloween. It's got some scary moments. It's a thriller. You need to start your challenge with Donnie motherfucking Darko. You have to watch that movie.
Fair enough.
I'm giving you that one because, number one, I know you'll like it. Number two, I know you'll enjoy it. Number three, Patrick Swayze's in it.
God. Oh, God.
But you will appreciate...
You wanted to lead with that, and you know it. I don't know why you didn't lead with that.
You will appreciate Swayze's role in that film because... I'll leave it at that. I know you'll have a lot to say.
Because then I'll appreciate it a lot.
No, but you'll understand why I say that you'll enjoy it. So I'll leave it at that so we can move on. But that's my first nomination for you to start with. And ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm going to go so far then as to say that should be the first Epic Film Guys suggestion for the horror challenge. Whatever day you want to do it, whatever day you want to pick to, this is the day we're going to watch this film, make it Donnie Darko. That can be number one. And then since, I mean, for me, I've actually seen probably a decent bit of horror, but it'll really be a chance for me to delve into a genre that I'm not all that familiar with and delve into a genre that I've kind of written off. I've long since written off horror films. Most modern day horror is just fucking shit. So, you know, I'll probably go back and do some more classic horror. I love, like when I took film studies or when I took German film, especially in college, I watched like the original Nosferatu. Like you could consider that a very, very classic horror film. Excellent film, by the way, if you've never seen it. You got to love silent movies to love it, but fantastic film. Incredibly atmospheric. One of the most atmospheric films you'd ever see in your life. The use of shadow. And it's great. I can't say enough about it. So that's going to be, you know, I didn't want Justin to have all the fun, and I didn't want to tell him before the podcast that I was going to join in on it because I knew he'd be a little bit more excited if I told him live here on the Real Rundown. So there you go.
There you go. And I am very, very excited about it. Tonight was the start for me. Actually, I've been watching horror films all year long. I always do. It's my thing. You guys know. But, you know, I started tonight in a great way. It's October Eve, and I started off with A Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven's original slasher flick at Alamo Drafthouse. Very happy to say so. And I'm just very excited about this season. Now, another thing I'm excited about this season, though, is there's so many good movies coming out in the next couple months. I regret to say that I have still yet to see The Green Inferno, Eli Roth's recent cannibal horror film. There's a bunch of movies coming out. But I know you had a lot to talk about. I don't really have a lot to say. So you have an agenda. I do not. I could blab about.
That just means we have to space out our words and our sentences. Right? Is that how it works?
I'm going to fall asleep, man.
We do. We got some other stuff to talk about. But yeah, we're very excited. 31 Days of Horror Challenge starts officially in about 3 minutes. We're recording today on the 30th, which is International Podcast Day, by the way. And it is also my anniversary. And it is also, as Justin said, October Eve. So lots of big stuff happening here at the end of September. So we do got some other stuff to talk about. I did mention to Justin earlier, Kevin Feige, and another one of the Marvel producers, Jeremy Latcham. I didn't have it in front of me, sorry. They sat down and did a Q&A about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Specifically, a lot of Phase 3 stuff came up, and I wanted to touch on that. Now, we will preface this as it is not going to be the typical Epic Film Guys Real Rundown trash Marvel moment.
Blah, blah, podcast. Blah.
Yeah, I know. You're waiting to. I could feel it. You're like, you're chomping at the bit. You're like, he's going to mention
little
Ultron.
Bit. A little bit. Yeah,
you're going to mention that. Ultron, and you're going to foam at the mouth and start jumping around on your desk over there. And oh, I don't even know. But, you know, anyway, they mentioned a lot of different stuff. As far as they mentioned a lot of stuff as pertains to Civil War, as pertains to even up to and including Infinity War. They don't have Infinity War. Obviously, they don't have the scripts done. But they've got the broad strokes, what Feig said. They've got the broad strokes of it finished. So they kind of know where Phase 3 is going to end up. And they wanted to assure people that even though Civil War is a pretty packed film as far as characters go, it is still a very much a Cap film. It's definitely still Captain America's movie. And it's not meant to overshadow or crowd out Infinity War. Because, of course, we know Infinity War is going to come in two parts. But they wanted to make that clear. They're going to be making, I guess he said they're going to be making a bunch of casting announcements as far as Captain Marvel, as far as Doctor Strange, as far as Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Spider-Man, the third Thor movie. You know, they're kind of shifting into overdrive here. After next year, they're going to have two movies next year, Civil War and then Doctor Strange in November. From there, they go to three movies a year.
That's insane. I still cannot even think of that in a logical way.
And you
got to
think about folding the DC schedule into that too, because DC's pumping like two or three films out a year too.
It only goes back to our recent discussion of, you know, how many of these can we deal with? But we won't even deal with that on this podcast. I just can't believe that's so... Thinking that two to three from each a year... I mean, now granted, they're going to be spread out, but... Man.
I will say that I did read an interesting tidbit that somebody put together about, you know, such as you mentioned, Spielberg's comments about superhero films going the way of the dinosaur, such and such. And, you know, they mentioned that, oh, you know, X number of superhero films came out in the last year, let's say like five or so, compared to 120 comedy flicks. You know, how many of those were rom-coms and stuff like that? And, you know, X number of action flicks and all this different stuff like that. So while it seems, you know, that superhero films are oversaturating the marketplace. I mean, when you're really, if you're releasing six films in a genre a year, compared to some other broader dramas, it's actually not nearly that bad. I think the difference being that they're such big money makers, like they're where everyone's attention goes because they're such big blockbuster like engines right now. So that's what the media really pays attention to. I mean, shit, that's what we talk about half the time on every podcast. And even
but
on
I
the
don't
page,
mean to. You know? I don't mean to. Why do
not
we?
Even,
I don't.
It's not even. It's well, because that's what people want to fucking hear. I mean, let's be honest. So, this stuff only keeps making the news because people want to know about it.
All right. When you say people, do you mean self-absorbed, appreciated fanboys that feel that they are worth everything, and then
no. They just want to bitch about it. But nonetheless, I mean, that's it's big money right now. It's the big thing. So I think Spielberg's comments still ring true in a way.
We already talked a lot about that before. Yeah,
I know we talked about that before, so we don't really need to touch on it again. But yeah, that's he mentioned a lot of stuff. He mentioned specifically doing more to tie together the Marvel TV universe and the movie universe. You know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you obviously see repercussions of a lot of the MCU films in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but there's not a lot of that going in the other direction. Like, the stuff happening on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, they discuss it in a movie, or there's even a mention of it in a movie. It's kind of like it doesn't really matter if the TV universe exists or not, because it's not really mentioned in it. There's going to be more tying together in that sort of way. Things like that. So, like I said, there's a lot of different stuff here. And it was a Q&A at the Los Angeles Hero Complex Gallery. Pretty interesting story, though. A lot of good stuff, especially if you're a fan of Marvel stuff. So check it out.
I do have to cut you off real quick. I did not realize this, but for me, this is a big deal. I just saw the news that director John Guillermin has died at the age of 89. I'm not sure if anyone knows this director, but if you've seen The Towering Inferno and you've seen the 1976 remake/revisioning of King Kong starring Jessica Lange, you'll know who that director is. He has passed away. So while this podcast is happening, that news has broke. So I am currently dedicating my part of the podcast to that gentleman because I absolutely love his King Kong remake, and I love Rick Baker in the ape suit, quote-unquote, gorilla suit. Now, honestly, I really like that movie a lot, and it had a lot of heart to it, and there was a lot of ambition with it. And the Towering Inferno, man, I've only seen that movie once. I need to revisit that, but that movie's fantastic as well. So rest in peace to John, a fantastic director who has just passed away at the age of 89.
May he rest in peace. And the more important news here is that Justin wasn't listening to anything I was saying the whole time and is busy doing other stuff.
I listened to everything you had to say. I heard you.
I didn't have much to say about that Marvel stuff. It just was what it was. So
the key thing
is
here.
Interesting stuff.
The key thing is. Key thing is, it's news.
I know, and I don't want to talk about news.
There you go.
I want to do discussions. And, hey, I want to discuss a couple things here. We had talked
about
this.
Let's get it.
I put it on my Facebook yesterday about Gotham's on Netflix now. And I didn't realize how angry the pilot had made me until I watched my video review of it again. And I'm going to cut some of the audio into the podcast here so people could kind of hear how I felt about it. But I hated it.
Are you going to cut some of mine in there? No, I was actually somewhat, I don't recall hating it. I just think that I bashed it a slight bit. I don't know. I didn't like it, though.
I tore it apart.
Of course
I
you did.
I absolutely ripped into it because I
it was easy hated to.
It was easy it was to easy. Because it was so damn bad. Just
you
terrible.
Posted. you posted your review of that thing like instantaneously. It was that fast. And I gave the show a good couple episodes before I gave up. Now, granted, we talked about it last week. A lot of people are saying that it finally found its tone, and some people love it, some people hate it and have let it go.
I've heard some people speaking more favorably about season two.
I just know that a lot of people are... I mean, the entire show right now, all I'm seeing is that young Joker is, like, the main focus. That's where I leave it, because I haven't watched it, so I can't say, but I just keep seeing photographs pop up in my news feed on Instagram and Facebook that, you know, they're focusing on Joker, and rightly so. I mean, hey, if they want ratings, dude, that's where to go, so...
Yeah, so, I mean, anyway, that's something that I had posted on my Facebook previously, and I want to leave this up to our fans. So, and we already had a couple people weigh in on my Facebook page, but we'll post this over on the Epic Film Guys page. Do you want me to sit and watch Gotham Season 1 and review it honestly?
Yes.
Because, you know, yes. What? And if I like it...
Yes! Yes, 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 yes.
Wait, can they hear that?
All right, and we're going to pause for a brief moment so Epic Film Guy Justin can go clean himself off, apparently. I don't know what the fuck that was.
It's this,
but anyway,
it's that's this what Southern we're gonna leave Tier it Warlock, man. It's so fantastically delicious.
It is delicious, I'll give you that. Way more delicious than that pumpkin shit. That you
it's better
and so many
year.
Other people love.
It's better this year.
I'm not
year.
A fan. I bet it's better. I tasted it this year. It tastes like fucking pumpkin. Which, no.
Are we going to go back to thinking about possibly reviewing beers again and
we
wines?
Should. We need to talk more about beer in these podcasts because we both drink when we do them. At least I actually, this is the first time I've drank on a podcast in the past, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
All right, so I'll ask you.
I've been feeling so under the weather.
What are you drinking?
This is Smutty Nose's Finest Kind IPA. This is something, Ada got me a six-pack of this. It's not bad. Not my favorite IPA by any means, but it's drinkable and it's got a little bit of a bite, a little bit of a hoppy bite right at the end of it, so not too bad. I tasted a whole bunch of beers in the Finger Lakes this weekend, and I was again disappointed. Upstate New York, particularly the Finger Lakes region, has yet to really catch on to understand what hops are or how to properly use them in a fucking beer. In terms of like an IPA and stuff like that anyway. I know all beer has hops in some way or another, but you know what? There's a lot of good. There's some good Oktoberfests and stuff like that upstate, though. I was telling you before about that Oktoberfest that actually had like an apple taste to it, a little bit of an apple flavor to it, which is a welcome change from the pumpkin, which I can't abide.
So the question is, do those people in the Finger Lakes make good movies, or do they love movies? Do they like to talk about movies?
I don't know. We probably don't have any fucking listeners up there. We better, though. Somebody better start listening to this shit. Because if I got to just sit here and talk to Justin for nothing every week, I'm not going to be happy about
There's it. Obviously someone out there interested enough to listen because, hey, you just stated those plays and
yeah, we did.
They
we
don't
hit
lie.
An all-time high. That last episode was our highest, our most played episode to date, outranking, I think, an episode that we did like a month ago at the end of August.
So, just do us a favor. Just do us a favor. Tell us what you want us to talk about.
So you keep listening, because, hey, you never know. We could be talking about shit in 3 weeks that you don't care about. Hey, we want to keep you interested and energized.
I don't even care about talking about anything. We could just fucking sit back and forth and banter about the Ape Man for the next fucking half an hour. Nobody's even going to know.
We keep talking about this Ape Man. Now, I sent you a picture, which you did not respond about, when I was at a pumpkin farm down here in Virginia. That Ape Man followed me there, and he hung from the top of a corn mill, some kind of farm mill thing with a, you know, a whatever, a windmill. Yeah, well, there's corn around it, and he was hanging. He was holding someone in his hand. That was for real. I saw it. It was not fake. I tell you, it was a real man.
It wasn't a person. It wasn't a person. It was a sack with a dollar sign on it because he stole it from a bank.
No, it was a real gorilla, I tell you. It wasn't a man, it was a real gorilla.
It was a man in a suit. Probably a 2-bit hoodlum or maybe a 3-bit hoodlum, but definitely a man in a suit.
All right. So, my question
is... No, there's no so.
So...
So what? Our beer, or do you want to backtrack to the Gotham thing again? Is that what we're doing?
I would really love to not talk about Gotham. So
I don't
want
to talk about Gotham either. But that was one of the questions I wanted to pose to our listeners.
Okay, so
should I?
So as of right now, the new rule is, as far as Batman Superman news, I'm only gonna like state one sentence worth of information.
We don't even have anything to talk about unless you mention the fucking rating, which no, don't even, because everybody already knew what the fucking rating was gonna be anyway.
We already know, but like the reason why I wanna make fun of this is because every news site in the entire fucking world is saying that.
Oh yeah, they all fucking announced it like it's the biggest fucking news to hit this year or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Well, that, and they're saying that the rating of PG-13, which we know this is BS, is because of sensuality. Are you kidding me? The amount of violence and the amount of brutality in the trailer alone and the tension, that's PG-13. Give me a break. I mean, you're telling me that sensuality is the reason behind a PG-13 rating with Batman and Superman fighting each other and destroying everything? Yeah.
You know what it is?
Okay.
You know what it is?
Okay.
I bet you, Supes goes to second base with Lois Lane. Bet you anything. Amy Adams gets some undershirt action from Henry Cavill. That's what it is. That's what it is.
That would be
something to warrant that rating, because otherwise I was sure this one's going to be PG. I was sure it was going
to
be PG.
That's kid stuff. That's kid stuff compared to Superman 2. Give me a break.
Yeah, that's very true. But yeah, I do love that every news outlet like jumped on it like it was the biggest news. It was like the news of the day. It's either a really
we
slow
know
movie
why.
News season. Or B, it's just like everything Batman Superman is such like it gets so many fucking page hits. It gets so much attention no matter what it is. Like you could post tomorrow, like the third day on set, Henry Cavill ate a bad burrito and fucking shit his brains out. Take a picture of the inside of the porta potty, fucking all destroyed, and there's shit splashed on the wall in the shape of an S shield, and people would post it online like it's a picture of like Jesus on a toast or something. Like, I'm telling you, like, everything about this movie is, like, the biggest news ever. Oh, my God, it's rated PG-13. Who didn't fucking know that?
They're grasping at straws, man. It's all for post-clicks. And that leads me to some news that I did want to refer to. I did want to actually, I should say, discuss is the term. Recently, this actually goes back to the horror challenge, and it's horror month starting right now. It's October, people.
Now we're fucking backtracking to news we covered a half an hour. God,
we didn't cover this. No, this is me and all me that tons of fans are taking Robert Englund, who played Freddy Krueger's.
Oh,
they're taking comments that he made out of context.
Go ahead.
Are you taking a shit?
I'm smearing the S shield on my wall right now as we speak, because I laughed my ass off when I fucking read this
about what I was talking about.
Yeah.
No, the fact is that so many people are talking about Robert Englund's comments about a new Elm Street film. The point being is that anyone that pays attention to anything this man says already knows the guy is old. He doesn't want to play Freddy again.
His hat and his glove and his sweater.
He's done.
He's done playing the character, yeah.
So a point being is that these websites for clickbait are posting his comments out of context, as in like he wants to star or he's going to star in another Elm Street film. Not happening. He made it official yesterday that he tweeted, you know, exact words are basically, quote unquote, like, I'm not going to star in another Elm Street film at all. And from my inside sources, a friend of mine online who's really good friends with Robert Englund knows that he's old, number one, He doesn't want to deal with the makeup again. And the only way he would do it is, obviously,
in the background, if he can hear me.
If he was paid enough, and if he didn't have to deal with the makeup, if it was an origin story and it was done with class, which is not going to happen. So all you fans out there can forget about it. Forget the fuck about it, because it's not going to happen. So stop commenting you want to see Robert Englund play Freddy again. It'll never, ever, I repeat, never, ever happen.
I laughed my ass off when I read that, because as soon as I started reading it, number one, I was like, Justin's going to fucking read this. And he's going to be like, what the hell are these people talking about? And immediately my brain was like, he's done. He flat out, like, that convention.
Dude, he tweeted.
Yeah.
He tweeted it.
How much did people
like,
pony up for that fucking convention to go see him where he only did the makeup, but he wouldn't wear the costume or whatever? Like, how much did people pony
because,
up to see him there?
It's funny because you mentioned that, and the cool gentleman I met tonight, his name is Jeremy Moorhead. Really cool dude. We talked a lot about horror before the screening of A Nightmare on Elm Street tonight at Alamo Drafthouse. The dude just bought the makeup, like the actual makeup, the foam latex makeup rubber, you know, piece that Robert Englund wore at Flashback Weekend in the UK.
Nice.
He just bought it. I'm going to disclose the amount. It was at least $1,000. Whatever. I doubt dude's going to listen to this podcast. But he bought that shit.
Hey, Robert Englund's got to eat too, man.
And this is how he makes his money now. But point being, man, like, this is it. This is done. Like, people don't realize this. Like, he's an actor, okay? Now, granted, like, 80% of the films he's done outside of Nightmare on Elm Street are garbage. And a large portion of the Nightmare on Elm Street
franchise I will call you to task on that, because that zombie strippers movie that he starred in, that I saw him in, was the greatest cinematic masterpiece of the 20th century. It was so good. So good. I think it was made in the 21st century, but whatever. It doesn't matter. It's so good. Production values beyond repul, and Jenna Jameson, Oscar-worthy performance as one of the strippers.
Sarcasm?
No, dude, it was the fucking, like, the greatest thing you've ever seen. What are you even talking about? God. It was zombies and tits flopping around everywhere. What do you want me to say about it?
Regardless of that, the key thing is people need to let this idea go.
Yeah, they
that
do.
He'll come back.
I mean, that's a perfect segue. That's a perfect segue.
And move into it.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about something else that won't die. That being the Fast and Furious franchise. Did you hear Vin Diesel say there's going to be another fucking trilogy of these things?
Well, the last one just broke records.
It did break a billion, and I'll give it that. But is there really enough interest out there for three more of these fucking movies? Like, Vin Diesel, I mean, obviously, you know, Paul Walker was, you know, tragically killed and everything like that. The Rock, as bankable as he is as an action star, he's not going to want to stick around this franchise forever. You know, so is it just going to be Vin Diesel? I mean, is like the 10th Fast and Furious movie going to be like a really elderly Vin Diesel, like, driving a fucking ice cream truck in like some weird neighborhood or something, trying to sell little rocket pops to little kids and shit? And then, I don't know, the rocket, the truck grows rocket wings and flies off into space or something like that, and then he goes to meet the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I don't even fucking know what. Like, what? I don't even know.
Refill time. Refill time. Keep talking.
Refill? Oh, what? You need another beer already? Well, that's... Epic Film Guy Justin has abandoned me to talk about. But yeah, that's... I read that news today, and I'm going to wait till he gets back, because I wanted to talk about this Alien Paradise Lost news. But while he's gone, back to the Gotham thing. If you want me to watch Gotham and review season one, I'll do it. I won't like it, but I'll do it. Every single episode, at least a miniature review will happen. Also, The Flash hits Netflix on October 6th, and I only ever had a chance to catch the pilot of The Flash as well. Very, very excited for that to hit Netflix, because I've heard nothing but good things about that show. I wish I was already caught
Star Wars?
So I could start. No, The Flash is coming to Netflix next month.
Batman, yeah. Superman, well, this Star
month,
Wars?
This month in 5 days. Yes. it's the rumor in Hollywood is, Justin, and I didn't tell you about this because it's the biggest fucking news, and this is Epic Film Guys breaking news. First source, baby. We're getting it out there first.
Are we?
Batman versus Superman and Star Wars is actually going to be tied together universe-wise. The villain in Batman Superman, are you ready for this? Are you ready? I got to know if you're ready, dude, because you're not even going to fucking believe it.
I'm ready.
It's Darth Maul, dude. Darth Maul comes back, fights against Supes, Bats, and Wonder Woman, and the action's going into space, and they're going to be fighting on a fucking Star Destroyer. Done. Done. That's it. J.J. Abrams and Zack Snyder got together. You know, remember when they were sending all those like little tweets, kind of warring with each other back and forth during the productions of these movies? That's what it was about. The crossover's happening. It's happening. It's happening, dude. I don't even know what to tell you. I don't even know. So, yeah. What do you think about that? Supes and Bats and Wonder Woman versus Darth Maul. I think that fight would end in about like 0.4 fucking seconds. Darth Maul just get disintegrated. This is what happens when you leave me here to talk by myself to get more fucking beer, you bastard. Anyway,
I'm here, but hey, I'm pretty sure we're like getting really, really like it's getting late here.
I don't fucking care. I gotta get you on the record about this. I don't care what time it is. I gotta get you on the record about this. At least
get it out of the way.
All right, now we had previously reported. We and everybody else, anyway. The Prometheus sequel is going to be called Alien Paradise Lost. We know that. We know that is intentional vis-a-vis the Milton epic. We know that. But we also heard from Ridley Scott some time ago that there were going to be, what, like 3 or 4 Prometheus sequels before it finally tied into Alien. Now comes Ridley Scott saying, no. This one's going to have ties to Ripley. I can't tell you what, but it's going to have ties to Ripley. And he's kind of done a flip around. We were talking about this last week about the Xenomorph, about how it's been done to death. And now Ridley Scott's kind of like, well, I've kind of got to get back into it and kind of, you know, evaluate and examine where the creature came from and all that stuff like that. So it seems to me, anyway, yes or no, Justin, do you think that Alien Paradise Lost is going to be the bridge between Prometheus and the original Alien, or are we still going to get those 17 Prometheus sequels that he promised us?
I'd prefer to not get the 17 Prometheus sequels that he's promising us, but who knows? I mean, at this point in time, there's a lot of hands in the cookie jar here. We don't really know. When it comes down to it, I don't necessarily need another Prometheus sequel in the first place. However, I'm opening this. I'm welcoming this one with open arms, and I hope it bridges well. I honestly could be happy with one more sequel, and then just let Blomkamp's sequel to Aliens happen. And
he did also mention that, by the way. He said that, Blomkamp's Alien 5, which obviously that's not the official title, but that is coming after the Alien Paradise Lost sequel to Prometheus.
That's all I need. And, like, I read a lot, the whole article that that Ridley Scott did yesterday. He had a lot of insightful things to say. But at the same time, the dude's old, and he sounds like an old dude that shoots films and has carte blanche, regardless of how many bad movies he's made. And he doesn't give a shit, dude. He'll just do what he wants. So my opinion of it is, let him make the Prometheus sequel. Okay, let Neil make his Alien film. Then let's see where we're at. You know, let's see what the mythology needs and what we want to see after that. Because, think about it. Like, we're going to see quite a bit out of those two films. And most fans, are really going to be satisfied by the two. Now, granted,
especially since Blomkamp's Alien 5 is, reportedly anyway, from all the concept art he's done, it's going to bring Ridley and, you know, possibly, I can't remember Michael Bane's character's name, but it's going to bring Sigourney Weaver and Michael Bane back into the fold and, you know, kind of I forget exactly the fucking wording he used. He's going to sidestep-ish, sort of, Alien 3 and Resurrection. So, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'd love to see Hicks back. Like, as I mentioned in many podcasts ago, Michael Bean doesn't look that good right now.
No, not when you saw him at that convention, dude. Yeah, that looked bad.
Now, granted, I will welcome with open arms Bill Paxton fucking coming back, even though Hudson's fucking dead. I don't care. I'd love to see him come back reincarnated. Dude, everyone loves Hudson. He's like a little bitch whiner.
I will watch Bill Paxton ham it up in any movie. Like in Edge of Tomorrow. How great was he in Edge of Tomorrow? And he was over the top as shit in that movie, but he was fucking great.
Well, you got to think, dude, he was put into that movie on purpose. I mean, like, everyone knows that Paxton just shows up randomly and literally there's like so many action movies he just shows up in the 80s and 90s that
he's just there. Yeah.
I mean, the guy's just a class act. He's one guy, you know, I got to tell you, he's one guy I got to meet at a convention. This guy was in Aliens, Edge of Tomorrow, Apollo 13, Titanic. I mean, give me a break, dude. This guy is like...
The Terminator? You're not even going to mention the Terminator? Come on, you're fucking slipping. You must be tired or something. Or drunk. You're fucking drunk.
He has bigger parts in the other films.
Even still, the Terminator...
Even so...
What are you doing down there, Judge Hershey?
His best film is Twister, man. That was his big shot, man. Dude, he's in. He's. Don't die. Don't die. Don't die. He's in Commando. He's in Predator 2. I could keep going on and on.
I am the law. Yep.
And you will forget this because he's in such a minor role that no one ever notices, but Bill Paxton is in Stripes with John Candy and Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And Harold Ramis. So.
Oh, man. I want to go back and watch some of those old classic 80s comedies like Caddyshack. Oh, God. Oh,
that's what I did as soon as Ramis died last year. That's what I did. I went back and watched all of his movies, man. Some of which I didn't even realize the dude directed. I'm like, wow. Like, the guy is a genius. But guess what? It's past my bedtime. So Epic Film Guy Justin is about to hit the sack.
All right. Well, we're going to let Epic Film Guy Justin go to bed. And then... It's going to be Epic Film Guy Nick talking for another 15 minutes about the PG-13 rating for Batman Superman coming out of nowhere. Nobody knew. This was fucking craziness. Huh. But we're going to let it end there. And then I'll be back as soon as Justin signs off with the biggest news ever. In the meantime.
I'm going to...
that's all we've got time for. On this edition of The Real Rundown. Thank you very much for listening. And again, please subscribe to our podcast. It's epicfilmguys.podbean.com/feed. You can add that to your subscription service. Find us on iTunes. Whatever you like, we are out there. We appreciate you. Happy International Podcast Day. Thank you very much for listening and for making last episode our biggest and make this one even bigger. Please and thank you. We love you. We do this for you. Thank you. And we'll see you at the movies.
Epic Film Guy Justin is out as well. See ya.